Would you turn to Matthew chapter 6, 25? Therefore, I say to you, do not what? Don't what? Well, wait a minute. Don't what? Don't worry about your life. That takes training, you know. Don't worry about your life. Now look at the next thing. What you will what? Eat. Or what you will what? Drink. Obviously, these things are not so essential. Nor about your body or what you will put on. He says, quit worrying about that stuff. Don't let it become a priority. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I'd say that was a rebuke. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? At least he didn't say little heathen. He said, O you little faith. 31. Therefore do not what? Worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Worry. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. See, now he's showing us what separates us. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you believe that? Do you believe he knows you what you need before you even ask? Amen. He says, but first seek. Which means pursue. Amen? First seek, pursue, go after, uncover, reveal the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry, be happy. You remember that song? Don't worry, be happy. You know, everybody used to sing that when they're blasted out of their minds and whatever. Seek, pursue, go after, uncover, reveal the kingdom of God's standard of righteousness. Then all things will be added that pertains to life existence in this realm. How many of y'all understand that that is the law of God? So every time there's something that you need, there's a requirement that you seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Every time. Did you seek the kingdom and his righteousness that morning? Are you seeking? In other words, in this, in our meeting yesterday, well, you know, so many times people go everywhere before they even do two simple things. First, ask who told them that. Amen? That's two simple things. And then the next thing is to trust and wait, you know, because without these things, you can't see the end of something. But he's saying here, seek, pursue. In this, what he's saying, look, you must pursue revelation. You must pursue revelation from heaven. You must pursue revelation from the eternal realm. You must pursue these things. Does everybody get it? Pursuing these. In other words, you're seeking the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God's got a plan. So what we are to do is to seek, pursue revelation. Amen. This is the pursuit of revelation from the unseen realm to make reality of the unseen realm more real to you more and more and more. Remember, revelation is uncovering, revealing, unfolding. So the more you seek the kingdom of God, which is, listen, the kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom, is, was, and always will be. But there's a standard of living that he has for me and you, and it's called righteousness living. It is a life of righteousness in this realm. And he says, as you live that way, and you continue to pursue, and you pursue revelation that keeps you more active, I'll do far above all you could ever ask or think. Why? Because then he can trust you. He doesn't release things that he can't trust you with. Trust is earned. Amen? It's earned. Favor is earned. All of these things are earned. He gives you what you need, but then there's a place where he says, I'm going to give you a little bit more. I'm going to surprise you as you're faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. That means alert. Yet not the wisdom of this age. In other words, it's not of this age. It's an eternal. Nor of the rulers of this age who are what? They're coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom from God in a mystery. A mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. Thank you, David. But God has revealed them to us through his what? His what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, there's something important here because he says it is the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. What is a mystery? It's something that's secret. It's hidden. Amen? If it's a secret and it's something hidden that God has planned for his people, that means we must search these things out so they become revelation and are revealed to me and you. Hallelujah. He says, but I'm going to reveal them to you through my Spirit. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These are revelations waiting for me and you to be released. They're mysteries. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive these things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How are they spiritually discerned? That means spiritually interpreted. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? The mind of Christ. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are not of the world system. These mysteries of revelation reveal the Creator and his purpose, or what we call his secrets. His what? His secrets. His secrets for me and you. In Deuteronomy 29. pursuit of revelation. See, the world is in pursuit of revelation, but they don't even know it. They're in pursuit of what is the truth. You know, from the moment you and I were brought into this world, there was a question in us always, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? That was a desire that God gave me and you so that we would go into a place of pursuit. But the enemy always put things in front of us. We're always misled, distracted, never getting fulfilled, wanting to still know who I am. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the purpose of all this? Why do I exist? Because in our hearts, there was a desire of a pursuit of revelation, of something revealed. What is the secret of who I am? What is the secret of why I'm here? What is the secret of where I'm going? What is the secret? Why is it hidden? And it's been hidden. And then we've been lied about who we are. Why am I here? Where am I going? We've been lied to our whole lives. Even with false religions that have lied to us. Thinking that there was a certain standard. And that's all God was wanting, was a relationship. Simple relationship with us. That's all it was. A simple relationship. Amen? Oh, praise God. Deuteronomy 29:29. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, in other words, through revelation, as you pursue revelation, belongs to who? Us. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law. In other words, His commands. Secret things belong to the Lord. And when revealed, they belong to us and our children. Once the secret is revealed, it's no longer a secret. Hello. You know, some of you go, I got to tell you a secret. Well, it ain't no secret no more. Now think about this. Samson's strength was not in his hair. Samson's strength was not in his hair. It was in a secret about his hair. He could not have it cut. Everybody get it? Once that secret was revealed, he lost his strength. Why? Because his hair got cut. But the secret was not, his power was not in his hair. Amen. His power was in the secret that God gave him. Don't let anybody know. And once that secret was revealed, power left. Hallelujah. You know, people don't realize, look at, and don't get me wrong on this, okay? When you tell someone you love them, you open yourself for hurt. I love you. You open yourself up for hurt. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't mean you're going to get hurt, but usually you do, one way or another. Why? Because once that secret is revealed, it's no longer a secret. You know, when God speaks to us, as we pursue revelation, there are things He's not asking you to reveal. But people want to reveal everything they hear from God. Oh, God told me this. Oh, God told me that. Well, it ain't no secret no more. No, the enemy's got access to you. People that say, God told me this, told me that, usually don't hear from God. They usually hear from their emotions, their past, and their own carnal mind. Not saying that God doesn't speak. But you don't always have to tell everybody, God told me. Does everybody get it? It's no longer a secret then. Where's your relationship with the Lord? Now you're trying to prove to other people you have a relationship when you don't have to. Hello? That should be between you and God. There are things that you're to reveal, and there are things you're not to reveal. Boy, if I was to reveal everything the Lord told me, there would be a lot of things going on. There are things He just tells me, don't, that's between me and you. Why? Because he's my dad. He's my friend. He's my Lord. And there are things that are not to be released now. There are things that are to be released later. Amen? Hallelujah. In John 15, verse 11. Let's speak. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be what? Full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know his master, what his master is what? Doing. So should we know what the master is doing? Yes. Amen. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Again, he calls us friends. Friend of Jesus. Everybody should want to be a friend of Jesus. Amen? A friend of Jesus receives revelation. Revelation is not always instant. But sometimes takes time. Sometimes God is not going to release something. There's times when he's asking you to go through something to get the access to revelation or to cause you to pursue a certain revelation. But the world is in pursuit of revelation itself, but they don't know it. They're in pursuit of truth, except the problem is they're accepting anything. They're accepting everything and anything that's a lie. So it really isn't revelation. It's deception. It's delusion. Amen? And there is a difference. Psalm 40. What is the requirement for this now? First, seek what? The kingdom of God. And that standard of living. What is his required standard of living? In righteousness. That's the bottom line. That's why he builds a foundation so that everything in you and I do, we are living out of the standard of living according to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for him. Psalm 40, verse 1. Glory. Is everybody okay? I waited what? Patiently for the Lord. You know, patience is also known as endure. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Now this is very powerful. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you. In order, if it were to declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now, here's an awesome thing. He said he waited, he pursued for revelation, and it was released to him. And what was brought to him is in verses 4 and 5, the revelation. He said, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. This was the revelation that came to him. While he waited patiently, while he endured, while he pursued revelation of God. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. This was the revelation that was brought to him. If I could declare and speak of them, there would be more than can be numbered. He was blown away. But you know what it also brought? A new song to him. It changed his life. See, when there is true revelation from God Almighty, something is revealed to you. Again, we've talked about this already. But there's got to be a pursuit of revelation. Without pursuit of revelation, there's no change. Your standard will stay the same, and we're to be increasing our standard. We're to be pursuing more and more and more, changing every time, becoming more and more in his image and likeness. Amen? But again, he said, look, it brought forth a new song with joy and praise. God released the revelation, the secret of who he is. He explained it to him in verses 4 and 5, and it changed his life. Why? Because he waited patiently. Go to Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. Let's speak it. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Is he waiting patiently? Amen. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, is this vision revelation? Yes. But at the end, it will what? Speak. And it will not lie. In other words, he's being able to show him the end. Though it tarries, though it waits, wait for it. Even though it's going to be, wait for it. It's going to come. Because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Wow. Watch, seek, pursue. When he speaks, vision of revelation, it is for an appointed time. And it will speak as it approaches its time for release or fulfillment. It will be repeated. Does everybody understand that? It will be repeated. It's time. And what does it do? It's fulfillment. The ability to see the end. That's why it's so important that we praise and worship, that we stay filled with the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important we stay in fellowship and associate with those that walk in the same faith. Don't be unevenly yoked, because it will drain you. It will distract you. Amen? Luke 24, verse 25. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, how slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Did they speak by revelation? Yes. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would go on further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. Now it came to pass, as they sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were what? Open. Communion. Revelation. Opened. Because of what? Fellowship. They fellowshiped with them. Do everybody understand it? You can't get revelation without fellowship, without taking time. You can't get revelation without talking with him, communicating with him. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us? When he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were there with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he had known them in the breaking of what? Bread. The breaking of bread. After resurrection, Jesus walked. There was in communion with them. There was relationship. And then there was revelation. Sometimes God connects the dots by bringing understanding to certain things through revelation. There may be things that you don't understand right now, and that the things have been told, and then all of a sudden, something occurs, and everything, it's like the whole puzzle comes together, and it's like, wow, that was it. That was it. That's what I've been waiting for. And then it brings a change in you. See, when there's true revelation, there's a change. It doesn't make you more carnal. It should make you more like Christ. Now, a lot of people say they get revelation, but they're still goofy. They're still heathens. They're dealing with familiar spirits. That's not true revelation. True revelation humbles you, never puffs you up. True revelation changes you, brings you more clarity, more insight. Amen? True revelation keeps you thirsty for more. You want more. You want to live in that life of revelation. Go to Luke 12. You know, there's times when I know God is impressing me. And I could be somewhere, but not somewhere. In other words, I could be in my own living room, but I ain't there. I'd just be sitting there like nothing. Nothing is affecting me anywhere. And I just know that the Lord is impressing me. And he's just, in other words, he's just saying, sit with me and don't say anything. And there doesn't have to be words. You know, when you sit with someone, you know that they're just there. Amen? And the more you do this, more you're able to say no to everything else away around you and allow him to have the position, the more revelation will come. You see, so many times people, they're not sensitive enough to that. They have the sense that they got to do. And they do their way right out of God's presence. And that's all he's doing is asking, just to sit there, don't say anything, just acknowledge me. Nothing. You don't have to say nothing. You're just giving him place. That's it. Just giving him place. That's why sometimes the word tells us God has to speak to us while we sleep. Because we're finally out of their way. You know, many times people go, man, I want to ask Jesus all kinds of questions when I see him. Well, maybe that's why he doesn't show up. And sometimes it's just the silence alone should be sufficient sometimes. Again, don't get me wrong in that. But there's times when he's just asking, Jesus said. And I can only share this with you because it's just happened again yesterday for me. I was just sitting there. And the people were all moving around, but I had no effect on that. None of it affected me at all. I just knew the Lord was there. And I just, in my spirit, was, thank you. Waka, waka, waka. Thank you. And again, it was just that, gotcha. Don't you hear? Okay. And the peace was just, you know, nothing bothered me. And then when it was time, You know, some people take it totally wrong. You know, you'd be talking with someone or whatever, and you're like, I got to go away. I got to go somewhere now. Oh, did I do something to hurt you? No, I just need to get away from you. Don't be offended. I just got to get away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did we go to Luke 12? Did we do that? 35? Luke 12, verse 35. Let's go. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Am I at the right place? Good. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, finds them what? Watching. Again, what are they watching for? They're pursuing what? Revelation. The revealing of their creator. The revealing. Assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be what? Broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in at an hour that you do not expect. That's where there's a continuous pursuit of revelation, truth. Remember, the mysteries of God are secrets. And, of course, they're no longer secrets when they're revealed. Amen? His presence. I can't express again the importance of sometimes just allowing God's presence to take preeminence. And that's it. In Psalm 73, verse 21. See, these are some of the things that separate us from the world. And these are wonderful things that God has given us. In verse 21, let's speak it. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Drawing near to God and put your trust. Again, how are you going to put your trust in? The more you draw near to him, the more you trust him. The more there's an exchange of his presence for yours. In Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, maintain the thoughts of Christ. Amen? Maintain his mind. And you can't do that without being refreshed every day. Amen? Because what you speak is what you eat is what you become. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. That means servants to the anointing. And stewards of the mysteries of God. That means we are stewards to revelation. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that one be found what? Faithful, consistent, abiding by the standard of kingdom living. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or in a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the what? Lord, because he's got a relationship. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God himself. Oh, yes. And I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians 14. Does everybody know who they are now? Do you know why you're here? Do you know where you're going? Praise God, that's revelation. Now, in between those things, there's more revelation to be revealed. Amen? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Let's speak it. Pursue what? Love and desire spiritual gifts. Especially that you may what? Prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries or secrets or what? Revelations. Does everybody get that? So while you're praying in tongues, you don't understand it. You're not supposed to unless there's an interpretation. But tongues is also for, there's the tongues of revelation within you. Now, if you were to be quiet, sit somewhere, you'd hear tongues running in you all the time. It's always running. Tongues of fire. You got fire, then it's got tongues. It's always running in you. Always burning. Always speaking. And that's all you do is you connect and poof. But what's going out, because what you sow is what you reap. So it brings that connection. While you're praying in the spirit of tongues, which you don't understand, that means the devil doesn't understand. That means it's a mystery. It's a secret to you and to everyone else. But to God, he knows what's being released to you. And he's imparting in you tongues of revelation into your spirit. And we'll bring it up when necessary to release it. Does everybody get it? And when it's released to you, me, it becomes illumination. Wow. See, now that revelation is for a certain purpose. Amen? It could be a part of something God's got planned. You may be waiting for an answer. Gosh, I've been wondering, you know. In fact, sometimes it doesn't get answered for years. Whoa, I remember that now. Asked that 15 years ago. But that might have been in your spirit the whole time, but it just was not released by the Holy Spirit. So there are things in you, because we are the stewards of the mysteries of God, the revelations of God. Now, if you are a steward of the revelations of God, does the devil love you? No, he hates you. He wants to kill you because until you get this understanding of your own revelation, that you carry the tongues of revelation in you because you're a spirit-filled, tongue-speaking individual, that these tongues of fire, these tongues of revelation that are in you are hidden mysteries of God, and the enemy wants to kill you before you release them. That means you're armed and dangerous. This is what separates us from the world, doesn't it? Amen. But make sure it's revelation from God, not from your soul or your emotions or your carnal attitudes. Amen? Glory to God. All right. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Some people just didn't want it or didn't receive it. Is it available for everyone? Yeah. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive. So there is prophecy is interpretation of tongues. Amen? So the more you pray in tongues, the more there's mysteries of revelation imparted in you. Now, there are things that are still required. You know, you can't, oh Lord, you know, I mean, there's things that are downloaded when God has to download something in you. In fact, there's tongues when he downloads it so much you can't get it. And it has to come up piece by piece like a puzzle. And then all of a sudden all the dots connect and it's like a big picture. And it's like, whoa, that's it. I get it now. Amen. Think about where we've been and where he's brought us through. You know, we never lose sight of where we've come from. That maintains an attitude of gratitude. Remember, God reveals the things to the humble. Amen. What does the word tell us about the enemy comes to seek whom he can devour, right? But we must be what? Diligent. We must be consistent. He releases. Now, grace is, we know, God's plan, isn't it? Well, is praying in tongues God's plan? How about tongues of revelation? Is that God's plan? Yes. But what does he say? He says he doesn't release those to the proud. He releases them to the humble. So a person that's walking a life of proud, who says that they're all spiritual, whatever, ain't got nothing. They're dealing with familiar spirits. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wouldn't bring pride. He brings humility and humbleness. Amen? There's so much more for us. So much more. So much more. There's oceans of revelations. There's oceans of God's presence. Oceans of treasures. Oceans. And we just know a little bit. But he's bringing us into a new season, where more and more things will be revealed. Oh, but he's got to, you know, we got to maintain that formula of denying yourself, picking up the cross, and following. Amen? In everything we do. Again, every decision, everything that's happening, ask yourself first, who told me that? Where did it come from? Then I can begin to make the decision or pursue. Does everybody get it? Because so many times people are pursuing things without ever asking, who told me that? You know, you think about how many times you've sneezed or thought, oh my God, I'm going to get sick. I mean, you know, I mean, the enemy attacks you with everything, man. You know, you twisted your ankle. You got cancer now. You know, I mean, the enemy wants you to think worse first because he wants to nullify the mind of Christ. That's his job. Offense. Offense. If people ask themselves, who told me that, they wouldn't be offended. Because I know that person that offended them, it's not that person. It's a spirit. But that's seeing beyond the natural into the spiritual. Does everybody get that? Oh, I was offended and I didn't like this and I didn't like this. And even Jesus said, are you offended to the disciples? Many of them left because he told them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They got freaked out. He was revealing to them revelation, and they couldn't handle it. And then what did he say to them? Man, I got a lot of stuff to say, but you ain't going to get it yet until the Holy Spirit can come and interpret it. We'll talk later, after I've risen from the dead. Can you imagine these guys? Say, what? You're going to die and come back? And then you're going to leave us? No, I'm going to send you my spirit. Oh, they really got it then. I doubt it. Then he breathed afresh. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is something that you can maintain until poured out, because it's going to be 50 days later. I can imagine when the anointing began to wear off at the end, they were all calling crazy. Man, they're probably fighting to get it to the upper room. Some probably stayed there, camped out. I ain't leaving until I kill somebody. But of course, not all of them went up there. Not all of them waited. Many of them missed because they were not pursuers of true revelation. They didn't get it. They missed it. They allowed the devil to steal it. And that's what he does. He steals it. There are so many people that are lost even though they're found. Does that make sense? They're very lost even though they're found. What do they lack? The pursuit of revelation. Oh, they got all their own revelations, but they ain't revelations from God. Hallelujah. But for me and you, we can't allow these things to just be something that is just once. It's constant. We went on a pursuit of constant revelation with God. The more you know Him, the more you know who you are. The more you know who you are, the more things God can trust you with. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we thank you for the release of encouragement. We thank you, Lord, that we are in pursuit of revelation because we're in pursuit of you and only you. You are our hope, our strength, and our life. You are our everything. It's not what we can do for you. It's what you can do through us. So, Lord, let revelation and the pursuit of revelation be a thirst and hunger for each and everyone in this room and everyone that's heard this message today. And may your name be glorified in every revelation that's being released in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Praise God.